40 Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The Rio Olympics, which officially opened Friday in Brazil, promised to be a visually spectacular games with world-famous tourist beaches and iconic landmarks like the Christ the Redeemer statue providing a backdrop. Photographers from around the world will be showcasing the city during the multi-sports festival. Our special guest this evening is Ken Minardis, Vice President of Sports Imagery and Services at Getty Images, the official photographic agency of the International Olympic Committee. My VOA colleague, Bill Werkinger, asked Ken, what does Getty Images do as a photographic agency worldwide?
Getty Images is the world's leading photo agency, I guess. We provide two very distinct services and two very distinct businesses in the field of sports photography. On the one hand, we are a very traditional media agency, a wire agency. I'm sure your listeners are very familiar with organizations like the Associated Press or Agence France-Presse or Reuters, and Getty Images provides a service to media, so newspapers, broadcasters, magazines, digital platforms, very similar to those organizations. At the same time, Getty Images is providing a commercial sports business, a photography business that helps the business of sport activate its relationships with sports events. We are the official photographic agency or partner to now nearly 80 sports governing bodies, clubs, leagues, and organizations.
Ken, how many Olympics have you been involved with?
I go back 20 years to the Atlanta Games in 1996. And it has been an incredible journey in the photographic coverage of the Games. When I think back to Atlanta, it was obviously a Games we covered with film. And to what we're doing today, it really has been a quantum leap over the last 20 years in covering the Olympics.
Ken, to give our listeners on the Voice of America an idea of how massive the undertaking this is, the coverage of the Rio Games by Getty Images, it's the culmination of years of pre-planning and setting up of the infrastructure. Tell us about that, please.
You couldn't be more right, actually. I always say that the successful coverage of the Games always comes through the immense planning effort. What people probably don't realize, what your listeners don't realize, is we start planning our coverage of the Games the very moment the host city is announced. And I was in Copenhagen in 2009 when Rio de Janeiro was selected to be the host city for the Games. And at that moment, we started to build the relationships with the nascent organizing committee, as it was then, to start to work on all of the technology and the logistics and the photo positions that you need to work on over that period. I think probably the biggest part of the project from that moment to today is the technology aspect. We have been working with the Rio Organizing Committee since 2009 on a transmission distribution network around the city of Rio, which allows us to connect each of our key photo positions in every venue back to our editing center in the main press center, which means essentially our readers and the readers of our clients are able to get the images we take from those venues in near real time, which is extraordinary. During the Games in Rio, thanks to that planning over 7 years, we'll be able to move an image from the camera to a customer anywhere in the world at key moments in around about 120 seconds, which, if you go back to a little bit to what I was saying about the Atlanta Games and film, is an enormous progression from 20 years ago when perhaps it was the quickest we were moving an image from camera to customer. It might have been 40 minutes.
We'll get back to more of those details about the fast transmission of the images in just a moment. Ken, in terms of personnel, please give our Voice of America listeners an idea of the size of your Getty Images team. That's the number of photographers and support staff committed to making things happen in Rio for the Olympics.
So it's our biggest team ever. We will be a shade under 120 people on site come August 5th for the opening ceremony. And that will be a team made up of around about 60 photographers, 25 editors, and then the balance made up from support staff and technical support staff. So it really is a huge team.
On the Voice of America, I'm speaking with Ken Minardis, the Vice President of Sports Imagery and Services at Getty Images. Ken, how many sports will Getty be covering at the Olympics?
We cover every single sport, and we guarantee to our customers that we will cover every day, every venue on every day there's action in that venue, so we really don't miss a heartbeat.
Over 16 days of Getty photo coverage of the Olympic Games, Ken, walk us through the workflow of a photojournalist at a typical Olympic venue from the moment a Getty photographer makes an image to the moment it reaches the client, the end user, the newspaper, the magazine, internet news operation, etc. I think you refer to it as an analogy like a wheel with spokes and a hub.
Exactly. If you imagine your photographer sitting next to, in a photo position at a key venue, covering one of the sports in Rio, invariably that photographer will be hardwired into our transmission network. So he will actually have a cable directly into the camera, which means every time that he's making an exposure, that image is traveling across our transmission network to our team of editors in our sort of editing hub, which is at the main press center in our office there. What's extraordinary is those images are moving across that network in around about 10 frames a second, which means that as the image is being taken, literally the editors are seeing that in near real time. Once the image reaches the editing hub in the main press center, we then have essentially a production line, three distinct roles at that stage. One editor who is selecting an image. That person's responsibility is just purely to look at the raw take and decide what are the images that we're going to work on and send to our customers. If you think across the entire games, we're going to shoot about 1.5 million raw frames. That role is key because we edit that down invariably to around about 90,000 frames that we send out to our customers. So that person is selecting the precise images that will be our final production. At that point, the image moves across to a second stage in the production line where we have somebody making adjustments to the image. So typically crops, toning, very minor kind of, for those of your listeners familiar with Photoshop, very minor adjustments to quality control the image. And then the final stage in the production line is we have an editor who is applying metadata, tidying up captions, and then deciding which of our customers around the world will receive that particular image. When you're moving so many images around the world, you really need a kind of air traffic control for the operation to decide what should go where. Not every customer wants to see every image. Certain images, of course, have a global appeal. Certain other images are only attractive on a regional basis. So at that point, the image leaves our operation in Rio.
Underscoring your earlier point, from the time the photo is captured to the time it reaches the client, in many cases, that's going to be about 2 minutes.
From the real key moments. Of course, that's not going to be the case from every moment during the games. But yes, from a moment such as the final of the 100 meters, or a big swimming final, or a big medal moment. Yes, that's exactly our aim.
This is the Voice of America, and I'm speaking with Ken Minardis, the Vice President of Sports Imagery and Services at Getty Images. Ken, as I understand, Getty is utilizing many new imaging technologies for the Olympic Games, especially in the area of robotic cameras and VR, virtual reality cameras. Tell our Voice of America listeners about that.
Yeah, that's a really exciting development since the London Games of 4 years ago. If I take the robotic technology first, I'm particularly excited about that because one of the challenges we set our photographers and our operation at every major sports event is to achieve what I call, I guess, the wow factor. every sports event that we watch these days as viewers or as readers is covered wall-to-wall by broadcast television, of course, and Rio will be no different. Each venue will be covered by maybe 32 broadcast cameras, and we will watch that, and many people will watch that at home 24/7 from every angle. The challenge we set ourselves is, I guess, for readers who wake up the next morning and open their newspaper or fire up their iPad and look at our production, is to think, you know what, wow, I did not see that on the television. And the robotic technology is really pushing us into a further down the track, I guess, and to be able to provide that wow factor. It enables us essentially to put cameras in places you couldn't put them before, places that humans couldn't go. We always could put remote cameras in those types of places, but they were essentially, with kind of, I guess, with want of a better phrase, dumb, in the sense that you put it in the roof or you put it in a place and you basically hope for the best. You hope the action would pass through the frame. Now, with robotic cameras and with our robotic rigs that we're using in Rio, these units behave remotely exactly as if you were holding them in your hands. You've got full control over the rotation through 360 degrees. You've got full control over the zoom. You've got full control over the focus and all of the other functions that you could adjust if you were holding this camera yourself, which means, of course, your chances of creating stunning imagery from strange locations has now gone up tenfold or a hundredfold. And so it's going to be really exciting to see what the robotic rigs provide from Rio.
That's Ken Minardis, Vice President of Sports Imagery and Services at Getty Images. And Ken is talking from the 2016 Olympic host city of Rio de Janeiro with my VOA colleague, Bill Werkinger. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports, broadcasting out of Studio 22 at our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington, D.C. In the second part of their interview, Bill Werkinger asked Ken Minardis about virtual reality photography.
On the virtual reality front, I think that's another fascinating technical development since London. We all know that this year is the year of virtual reality in many ways. And I think what's exciting for me going to Rio in this front is that the history of photography has always been around a single moment. The history of photography began with photographers trying to capture what many people call the defining moment. The birth of digital shifted that somewhat. It made photographers who were taking large volumes of images and telling stories for the first time with those volumes of images. VR is a shift in a way. Even though it's a technological shift forwards, it at the same time is also a shift back to the single image, which is fascinating. Readers clearly want to immerse themselves in that single moment using virtual reality. They want to gain a sense of presence by immersing themselves in that single image. And so using our 360s and our panoramas, that enables those readers to spend longer over an image, which is obviously really attractive to publishers because I think I saw some data that readers spend possibly 20 times more time on a immersive image than they would on a traditional image, which is obviously very attractive to publishers and advertisers as well, I guess.
And Ken, for our Voice of America listeners, when you mention the virtual reality cameras, you're referring about a camera that can actually create an immersive 360-degree spherical panoramic experience where the viewer can rotate the image a full 360 degrees left and right and also 180 degrees up and down. Is that right, Ken?
That is exactly right, yes. It gives the reader a fully immersive 360-degree experience. So I get to bring the reader to as close as to the point of the photographer as they can possibly be. Sometimes, as photographers and as media, we often forget the privileged positions that we occupy. And again, 360 sort of brings the reader into that very privileged position that we sometimes take for granted. And it's a great way of using that access to show the reader the very special places we get to work.
On The Voice of America, I'm speaking with Ken Minardis, the Vice President of Sports Imagery and Services at Getty Images. Ken, one of the reasons that Getty Images produces consistently high-quality sports images is that Getty believes in utilizing sports photojournalistic specialists. Could you please expand on that for our Voice of America listeners?
We believe that very, very strongly. It's not to say that generalists are in any way not the way to go. I mean, many, many generalists will go to Rio and cover the Rio Games for other organizations, having perhaps covered a war the previous week or a red carpet entertainment event. But we believe, as an organization committed to customers' experience of sport and also the business of sport and our sports partners, that photographers with a specialism in sport and often in particular sports have a greater understanding of the action as it's happening in front of them and have a greater understanding of the content and the storylines, which means that ultimately, just like a writer or a broadcaster who has a particular specialism in a topic, that they're going to produce higher quality content. And we've seen that over the last 30 years since we've been covering the games and sports. It's an extremely important element that feeds in to, very particularly difficult sports to cover. If you imagine sailing, you're bobbing around on a chase boat out in a harbor or out on the ocean. There's a race happening in front of you. If you're not a sailing expert, it is extremely difficult to create a high-quality photographic report from that event. If you're a sailing specialist and you understand exactly the nuances of sailing and the elements and all of those things, you have a much, much greater chance of producing high-quality imagery.
Can your photographers at Getty Images have the best access for the moments in sport? They also have the finest equipment. Some of these still cameras are capable of shooting bursts of 14 images per second. Yet, as I understand, your photographers are also so skilled that they rely not on machine gunning their cameras. Instead, they are waiting for the most compelling moment.
Well, you couldn't be more right. The technology we have today to shoot professional photography is the best it's ever been, and you're absolutely right. That means you can shoot bursts of 14 frames a second for many, many seconds before you fill buffers and things like that. However, machine gunning an event actually does two things. One, it overwhelms your editor, so the best content never surfaces. And two, invariably, it stops you making real pictures, and that's what we're in the game to do, is to make real pictures. So we always work with photographers who we believe know through their specialist knowledge of the sport when the action is about to happen. I often say that sports photography and sport as the two is a little bit like a dance, and a great sports photographer understands the music of the event that is happening in front of them, and as the rhythm reaches that exact moment when it's going to make great pictures, the photographer, the great sports photographer, knows exactly that now is the time to shoot. Now is the time that the rhythm of the dance is the right moment, and that's when it makes great pictures.
On The Voice of America, I'm speaking with Ken Minardis, the Vice President of Sports Imagery and Services at Getty Images. Ken, I've heard this discussed in the photographic community. How does the term family apply to the Getty Images way of running a photo agency?
Family is a great word to describe a Getty Images sports team. What we do is more than, in many ways, is obviously more than a job. We spend many, many days and hours and months away from our homes, and our team and our photographers do that in many ways to achieve the work that, and produce the work that the team produces. Requires large sacrifices on that front. And so when you're away with a very specific group of colleagues working to achieve a very high standard in whatever you do, invariably you create a family, a second family. And I think all our team would say that the Getty Images sports team is in many ways their second family because of the way, the amount of time they all spend together and the common goal they all, many of the facets see as in family life. You know, of all the striving to achieve something together, it is exactly like a family, but definitely your second family.
Ken, do you have any advice for our Voice of America listeners who may have a career goal of one day working as a photojournalist for Getty Images?
Absolutely. We would love for that to happen, number one. I'm sure there are a lot of very talented photographers amongst your listeners. We always say, I always say, primarily don't become obsessed with the events you shoot. And by that I mean, I think there's a tendency do two things as a young photographer is to think that you must be covering the biggest events, the highest profile events, pro sports as a first step. It really isn't the case. go down to your local rec or park or amateur sports venue in your town or city and start shooting sport. And then start making contacts with pro sports photographers. And by that I mean sports specialists, of course. And start showing the material from those shoots that you have and get feedback. Sports photographers invariably are delighted to give young photographers feedback. So that would be my first piece of advice is, it doesn't matter what sport you shoot. It doesn't need to be high level or pro sport. Two, don't become too obsessed with the equipment. You know, the cutting edge modern equipment makes the job much, much easier. But providing you start from a pretty solid base from an equipment perspective, if you're able to produce good results from relatively modest equipment, you're going to do great when you get to pro gear. So don't also get too obsessed with pro gear.
That's Ken Minardis, Vice President of Sports Imagery and Services at Getty Images. And Ken was talking with my VOA colleague, Bill Werkinger, from the 2016 Olympic host city of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. My latest blog post is titled USA Olympic Hurdler Sydney McLaughlin. Sydney will celebrate her 17th birthday on August 7th. She's going to Rio de Janeiro as the youngest American track and field athlete to compete in the Olympics since 1976. USA Olympic hurdler Sydney McLaughlin, the subject of the latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty Olympic greetings, Andrew.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. The countdown continues. We are in the home stretch now. By the end of the week, the Olympics will begin. And even before that, as we talked about last week, with women's soccer kicking off tomorrow.
Lots of excitement surrounding Rio. Andrew, I guess the Olympics have got to be trending this week.
They are, and maybe not for the reason that the Olympic organizers would want them to trend, at least so far. As we've been talking about all through last week and into this week, a lot of issues in the Olympic Village. We have some reports from social media from China that a lot of the Chinese athletes who are there, the 416 Chinese athletes in Rio, are having a lot of problems in their living accommodations. There's one tweet that got sent out on Chinese state social media of a sink that just kind of fell right out of the counter in the bathroom and shattered on the floor. There's a lot of instances being reported of athletes that were robbed or had possessions stolen, unauthorized payments on their credit cards. So they're having a lot of issues with the security, with the accommodations. And then one person even said it was the worst Olympics ever and hasn't even started yet. But from their perspective, the worst ever. Now, the interesting thing about this is there may be some damage control in all of these tweets coming from Chinese state media about the Olympic problems, because, of course, as you remember, Beijing in 2008 did the Olympics, and Beijing's going to host it again, the Winter Olympics, and I think it's 2022, if I'm not mistaken. And there's a lot of concerns about, are they actually going to have winter weather in 2022? It's a very warm climate, so they may not have the weather. So there may be some damage control in these tweets. But as we've been talking about, the Australians have had a lot of problems, but they're making the best of it. Case in point, Australian basketballer Andrew Bogut put a picture up on his Twitter account where he's kind of sewing together a shower curtain so that he doesn't flood his bathroom. It's another Australian athlete who hung up her shower curtain using plastic wrap to kind of wrap it up around the shower curtain bar. So they're having a little bit of fun with it. As we've been talking about, the Australians seem to have had a lot of problems with their accommodations, but they're trying to make the best of it and using social media to kind of get a laugh out of it.
Andrew, I did tune into the show last week when you were hosting, and didn't you tell our VOA listeners that the Aussies got their own key to the city of
Rio?
Yeah,
well, that was the thing last week, that everything seemed to be made up after the comments by the Rio mayor that he was going to put a kangaroo outside of their accommodations. You know, the Aussies gave him a stuffed kangaroo. He gave him the key to the city. Everything seemed to be great. Well, it doesn't seem to be great now. And I have a feeling that as more athletes arrive in the Olympic Village over the coming days before the opening ceremonies on Friday, we're going to see some more of these photos from different delegations of things that are broken or things that just aren't working as they should be.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew. And watch on Wednesday. We're going to be back with Facebook Live tomorrow.
Absolutely. Right? I'm excited about that. So everybody tune in on our Facebook page.
Okay. And that wraps up the August 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden.
I get it.
And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The government of Ethiopia has made tremendous progress in fighting the HIV epidemic in Ethiopia. In 2015, Ethiopia adopted what is known as the UN AIDS 90-90-90 targets. It is one in which 90% of all people living with HIV will know their HIV status. 90% of all people living with HIV will receive antiretroviral treatment. And 90% of all people receiving this treatment will have viral suppression. These ambitious targets have the potential to end the AIDS epidemic by 2030. With the goal of achieving the 90-90-90 targets, the Federal Ministry of Health, or MOH, plans to test 13.9 million people over the next year. With full support of the development partners, the MOH has launched a catch-up campaign for HIV testing on Tuesday, July 26th, and will test approximately 6 million people over the next 3 months. The catch-up campaign is a significant intervention to reach people who are living with HIV in Ethiopia but don't know it and to provide them with life-saving treatment. The U.S. government, UNAIDS, and the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria are working closely with the Federal Ministry of Health to provide technical support to ensure the successful implementation of the catch-up campaign. The MOH has also endorsed Test and Start, where people living with HIV are given the opportunity to immediately initiate antiretroviral treatment, regardless of what stage of the disease they are in when diagnosed. Currently, all children and adolescents under 15 years old, pregnant women, couples where one partner is HIV positive, TB, HIV co-infected patients, and commercial sex workers are eligible for immediate treatment under Test and Start, while the government of Ethiopia works towards rolling out a strategy to all clients who test positive. The U.S. government, also endorsing Test and Start, is focusing its efforts to reach the most affected populations where they live and has therefore selected 20 high-priority towns to implement intensive program interventions to achieve optimal saturation. With targeted testing and quality test kits, the catch-up campaign and Test and Start initiatives will ensure more HIV-positive patients have timely access to life-saving HIV treatment and put Ethiopia on a firm path to its 90-90-90 goals. The United States is proud to work with Ethiopia and its international partners to protect the people of Ethiopia from the deadly threat of HIV/AIDS.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa. Shaka Sali and his guests will discuss the Democratic National Convention and what a Hillary Clinton presidency could mean for Africa. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa music fans. We have hours of the music that you love every day.
Some things change, some remain the same.
From the north to the south and the east to the west, we play only the best. Tune in at 0100, 0200, 1200 and 1300 UTC GMT right here on VOA Africa.
Democracy in action. That's what the U.S. presidential election is all about. Who's going to be the new president of the United States come November 8th? Tune in to VOA's coverage of the 2016 presidential election. Reports, expert analysis, and more. Professional, up-to-the-minute coverage that can't be found anywhere else. Right here on VOA.